You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
God judges nations. That's what Dr. J. Vernon McGee tells us today on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we depart for 2 Samuel chapter 21. But before we consider the problems of the Israelites, let's hear what Dr. McGee had to say many years ago about the serious problems in America. I think that you'll find the message that he shares is still applicable today.
We have problems, real problems. And actually, most people think they're economic, but our problems actually are moral problems. It was years ago that a 19th century French philosopher and historian, Alexis de Tocqueville, made this statement after visiting this country. He said, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In the fertile fields and the boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secrets of her genius and power. America is great because she's good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Well, the pulpits are not aflame with righteousness today, and we are an immoral people, and the facts prove that. 56% or 5 out of 9 marriages today end in divorce. Abortion in the United States alone has been responsible for more deaths than resulted from the Nazi Holocaust or the genocide of Cambodia. And pornography, why, the smut industry rakes in billions of dollars annually for organized crime bosses, victimizing children and contributing to sex-related violence. And then there's drug abuse. Escalating drug abuse has led to an estimated 500,000 heroin addicts. Millions of other Americans are dependent on a wide variety of other drugs, including alcohol. And then violent crime. One murder is committed in the U.S. every 27 minutes. And those figures, I think, are now out of date. I think we're going now at the rate of 1 a minute. This is something that makes it impossible to call this a righteous nation today. Our problem is gross immorality. May I say to you that we're seeing through our radio ministry that this nation needs a spiritual revival. And I trust that many of you that listen to our program will remember our nation at this time in prayer. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon our nation today. There might be a turning to thee. And also that the word might continue to go out to those that will hear. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
That's a great prayer to start us. Dr. McGee talks more about this in light of God's word in just a few minutes. So let's begin our study in 2 Samuel. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come, friends, here in the 21st chapter of 2 Samuel to a period of famine in the land of Israel. And the reason that God gives for it seems rather strange, but in it again there's a great lesson for us. I'm reading now 2 Samuel 21:1. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It's for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What ye shall say, that will I do for you." And they answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us. We'll hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." But notice, "But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul." Now, this is quite a remarkable passage of Scripture. First of all, let's note that way back in the days of Joshua, the Gibeonites deceived Joshua, but they made a treaty with him. And a treaty in that day, which was uncivilized, was inviolate. That is, they kept the terms of the treaty. Treaties were more than a scrap of paper. Treaties were more than that which was to be broken. Among nations today, this matter of sitting down at a conference table and trying to make a treaty is almost laughable, because who keeps it? And we find that the average person has a right to be cynical relative to the way that nations attempt to get along with each other. But in that day, nations' word was as good as its bond. And when they made a treaty, they kept it. And so when Saul came along, he broke that treaty. And David attempted to make amends for it. And he did. But the other side of the coin is interesting. God didn't forget that Saul had broken that treaty. And his people, they're not going to get by with it. And so 3 years of famine come upon them as a judgment. Now, let me make this kind of an application that I think is valid, and that is that you and I live in a day when it cannot be said that any particular nation is chosen of God. That is, right now the nation Israel is scattered. God today is calling a people out of this world to his name from all tribes and tongues and nations. And you cannot say that a particular nation is the chosen nation today. But God does deal with nations, and God does judge nations, and God holds nations responsible. And it doesn't make any difference what nation it is. God judged Egypt, God judged Babylon, God judged Assyria, Greece, Rome, and God will judge America. And I'm of the opinion, and will you hear me now very carefully, I believe that we're in the process of dissolution as a nation. There are several evidences of God's judgment upon us. Now let me just mention several things. Since World War II, it was our intention to be a great peacemaking nation, but live in sin. And believe me, my friend, after World War II, America started out plunging into sin. But you know, we couldn't quit fighting. And there hasn't been a moment since World War II for what we're fighting somewhere. We are talking peace today as we've never talked it before. And there's no peace, my friend. God says, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Now, there are other indications of this dissolution. We have no great statesmen today. Now, I recognize that there are quite a few of the boys over in Washington think that they're clever. And that's not confined to any one political party. I think they all feel like they could solve the problems of the world. And actually, it's rather pitiful today to see this nation without great leadership. We do not have it today and haven't had it since World War II. Well, we never had it then. But the point is that that is another evidence of judgment. You remember God said to his people, I'm going to give women to rule over you. Believe me, there's been a movement in that direction also. Then, may I say that right here in Southern California, we are the center of pornography. We send out all the cults and the isms from here. And God gave us quite a shaking. I'm of the opinion that the earthquake was a judgment of God. Now, I know that there's the scientific explanation that we have a San Andreas fault and we have several other faults. In fact, we got a whole lot of faults out here. And I'm of the opinion that God is beginning to judge America today. Lawlessness, gross immorality. May I say to you, God judges nations. And if there's one thing that chapter 21 reveals, it reveals that. And also, we find that David is carrying on a continual warfare with the Philistines. And we read here in verse 15, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Now we're told here that there was a great battle. God gave the victory to Israel, and we are told in verse 22, these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, the giant was Goliath. You will recall that we mentioned this before, that when David went out to meet Goliath, he took five smooth stones, and I've heard it described rather vividly, that David thought he might miss with one and then he'd have another one. If he missed with it, he had five stones. And that, of course, would be a great lesson that we ought to have a reserve. Well, may I say to you, David didn't have a reserve. Here's the evidence of it right here. That giant had four sons and they were sitting over there in the lines of the Philistine. And David knew that when he slew the giant, that those four sons might want to come out. He had a stone for each one of them. The interesting thing here, we are told that he slew them also. Now, I do not know whether he did it at that time. I don't think he did. But he got to them later on because these boys are going to take revenge. And they are big fellows, too. They took after their father. And David slew these five, you see. He had five stones, one for each one of them. This idea that David was carrying reserve stones is a mistake. This boy was accurate with the slingshot. If you'd been there with the sheep, you would have seen him maybe practice several hours every day. I think he could put a stone in a hollow in a tree that was not even big enough for a squirrel to crawl in. David was accurate with this. Now we come to 2 Samuel 22. And here is David's great song of deliverance. After God had delivered him from all of his enemies, he sang this song. Now, I'm going to bypass it here because when I come to the book of Psalms, I'll spend some time with this psalm. I'd like to call attention, however, to several features concerning it. It opens like this. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, Now, this is the song that David composed, apparently, at the end of his life, when he looked back over his life, and he could see how the hand of God had moved in his life and brought him to the place of old age. This is, I think it was at the same time that David not only composed Psalm 18, which is this chapter, but he also composed, I think, Psalm 23 at this time, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He looked back over his life and he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And Paul put it like this for you and me, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Has God brought you up to this moment, friend? And why in the world do you think he's going to let you down now? And David now could sing this song. Listen to just a portion of it here. "The Lord is my rock." That's a place to rest upon. Christ is the rock of our salvation. He's the foundation. We rest on him. "And my fortress," that's for protection in life. "And my deliverer," that's in the time of temptation. "The God of my rock." The Lord is not only a rock, but he's the God of my rock, my faith. He's the object of my faith. "In him will I trust." He's my shield. He protects me from the enemy. "And the horn of my salvation." He is the one that I rest in for salvation. He's my high tower. That's where I go to view the land. He's my vision and my refuge, my Savior. "Thou savest me from violence." May I say to you, we're also living in a day when we do not have anything that corresponds to genius in the way of writing. There's no great vision today. Everything is run today by a computer. Everything is already taped. And we are a scientific age. We know how to add 2 + 2 = 4. Well, we don't seem to produce anything really original today. After all, the best thing a computer can do is just say 2 + 2 = 4. And I don't know about you, I've heard that enough. I'm a little tired, weary of hearing that. Oh, how monotonous life becomes when you leave God out of it. Now, verse 36, "Thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Now, David was a rough and rugged man. David was a hot-headed man. But God is gentle. And David's love and association with God had really quieted him down. It had stoked the fires. It had made him a gracious man. "Thy gentleness hath made me great." We need to associate more with God today. My, how men need that in this hour in which we're living. This is a great psalm, and this is a psalm David composed at the end of his life when he looked back over it. And when we get to Psalm 23, you will find out that I take the position that Psalm 23 was not written by a little immature boy. Psalm 23, it's not a protest of a college student who doesn't know really what life is all about. And it's not written by a middle-aged man who has great ambition to get to the top, either in business or politics, or become famous. Psalm 23 is written by an old king who looks back over his life and sees the hand of God has moved in his life. He is a man that's tasted everything. There's nothing this world had that David didn't taste, my friend. And David said that the most wonderful thing of all is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Wonderful today to have a shepherd like that. By the way, what kind of a shepherd do you have today? How are you making it out yonder in the world, friend? Is it rough and tough and hard and difficult for you today? You're trying to expand your mind with drugs? I have a letter from an ex-hippie. I'm finding many of these are turning to Christ. I'm finding many that are getting into the Word of God, and they're finding out here's a book that's got something. This is not smutty story. written in modern literature today by some sophisticate that does not have genius at all. He just has a dirty mind. May I say to you that multitudes are finding a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is something quite wonderful and something that is worthwhile. That was David. Oh, how David, he says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now we come in chapter 23, and I think you've discovered I'm not going to finish 2 Samuel today, but won't make any difference, because when we get to 1 Kings, we just continue right on with the story of David to his death, and so we'll break off here just any place. But my, I got carried away here with this wonderful 18th psalm that's in the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel. It occurs twice, you see, in the Bible. This is the background of it, and I've attempted to give that today. Now, when we get to Psalm 18, I'll go into detail in it. We're going to have a great time in the book of Psalms. Believe me, you're not only looking at marvelous literature, you're not only looking at words that open up new vistas for you and let you see something that's lots prettier than the surface of the moon, more glorious than a sunset or a moonrise. It is a section of the Word of God, my friend, that will thrill every fiber in your being. How wonderful the book of Psalms will be. And it's this man David who wrote it. It was because of that marvelous relationship that he had with Almighty God. How we need that today. Now, I come to chapter 23, and we'll just get our foot in the door here. And chapter 23 of David's final words. And we have a list of David's mighty men. We won't talk about them in detail today, because here's another section that is repeated over in 1 Chronicles. And actually, over there, we are given more detail concerning these mighty men. And at that time, I want to have a roll call of them. But there's some things here we must look at. Now let me just open this chapter here with verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. I wish that we had time to talk about each one of them. He's the son of Jesse. Jesse was a peasant, a farmer, down at Bethlehem. David is never ashamed of that. And God lifted him up on high, put him with the great men of the world. And he's the anointed of the God of Jacob. Now, the same God that took that clever, conniving fellow Jacob and made him Israel, a prince with God, is the same God that took David and put him on the throne. And you know that he is the same God that saved me, and he's the same God that saved you. And he's gracious, and he's good, and he's loving. Oh, my friend, how wonderful our God is. And now he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. Well, I have to leave him there. I can't even carry a tune. But David was a musician. He wrote music. He played music. He loved to hear music, and I can only say the last. I'm sure that all of you know, but now I'm a squire. I don't care for the rock music at all. In fact, to me, it's not even music. And I don't care about it being brought into the church today. But you see, I'm just a retired preacher now, and I can say that. I think it ought to be taken out of the church. But I think music, good music, elevating music, music that thrills the soul, that is the thing that's wonderful today, and I love that. Well, we'll have to leave off right there. We'll pick right up there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Those words are worth repeating. The same God that saved me is the same God who saved you, and he's gracious, and he's good, and he's loving. Learn more about God's great love for you at ttb.org. You can click on How Can I Know God or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put a few resources that are free in the mail out to you. Now, next time, we conclude our study of 2 Samuel before heading to 1 and 2 Kings. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save your seat on the Bible bus.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC, COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, COCO, 99.9 FM.
I am Minister Sophia Ross. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our phone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, this is your radio pastor, James Ross of New Life Assembly, and we thank the Lord for this great opportunity once again to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells and automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the one that came into this earth realm to seek and save that which was lost. And all humanity was lost. Therefore, he came to save you, me, and all of the rest. So today we want to talk about the Word of God concerning what Christ has done for us as children of the Most High God, and even those that do not know him right now. Praise God. We want to look at the Word in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. And I'm going to have Minister Glory to read that verse of scripture here, and therefore we would just go line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, and keep in mind we're dealing with a multitude of scriptures today, so that those that have tuned into the broadcast, even if you're not born again, you can read and hear what the Word of God is saying, and God will speak to you because he loves you and he came here for you. If it was only one person that was lost, because of the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he would come for you. So just listen to what the Word says here concerning what Christ has done for us all. He died for us all. Praise God. And I tell you this, the most important thing is that when we adhere to what the Word of God is saying and take him at his word, we can receive the benefits that the Lord Jesus Christ has appropriated for us all on Calvary's cross. The whole message is that there is one that came from glory into this earth realm, born of a woman, did miraculous things, brought forth healing those that were sick and afflicted, died on Calvary's cross, and then ascended back into the heavens. Praise God. But before he went back into the heavens, he went down first. He went down to deliver those said captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So this morning we want to just glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thank him for everything that he has done for us. Stay tuned and connected with what we're saying here, because the Word of God is everything to us all that believe. So, Minister Glory, would you read Isaiah 53 and verse 6 and let everybody know that at one point we all, as sheep, gone astray. Amen.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, praise the God, has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all.
Praise God. You see, what we're saying here is that the Lord Jesus Christ took the wrath of God for you and for me. He never sinned. And what happened is that he loved us so much until he paid the price. I want to tell you that there was a penalty for sin, and no man could undertake it. There was only one that was perfect, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. And what he did is that he broke the penalty of sin for us all, making headway so that you and I and everyone else that will believe and trust in him can receive eternal life. The most important thing here is that the broadcast is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, not make anyone feel good about what they're doing. It's to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole divine purpose, that God, what he has done for us, we in turn thank him and praise him for everything. Now, the word tells us that the Lord laid the iniquities of us all on him. So in other words, the sin factor has been dealt with. God has put everything on his son Jesus. Glory to God. I thank God that he came and everything was laid on him. Now we want to look at another verse of scripture here to just validate what we're talking about, because God laid everything on him, and what Jesus became a sin offering for us. See, he never sinned, but thank God that he took my sin and your sin and everyone that will believe and trust in him. So we're going to look at another verse of scripture here to just glorify the word of God and everything that he's done for us, because without him, it's virtually impossible for any of us to receive eternal life. Glory to God. We want to look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Praise God. Mr. Glory, would you just kindly read that and let the radio listeners out there know that there was one that took their place on Calvary's cross.
For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise God. Everyone that will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ after a true repentance of sin and turn their hearts toward God, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, they in turn will become and is made the righteousness of God. It's a wonderful thing there what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, because we could not do it for ourselves. We all were sinners, as the word of God says there in Romans 3:23, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, what happened is that there had to be one that would pay the price for the sins of humanity. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't do it. David couldn't do it. Ezekiel couldn't do it. Any of the prophets, they could not do it. There had to be one that was able to bear the sins of many, if we believe and trust in him. So the scripture tells us that he knew no sin, but he was made a sin offering. Other words, keep in mind, a sin offering. Other words, he was offered up as sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that is to the Christian, to the child of God, but everyone that will believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, they will become, or perhaps made, the righteousness of God. This is what Jesus did for us all. Praise God. Because, you know, Minister Glory, the word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the sin had to be paid. And the penalty of sin was death. I tell you, it's something that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And this is why we should thank him each and every day, the ones that have believed and received him as Lord and Savior, therefore walking in the righteousness of God. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here, because what we're talking about here is that what Jesus Christ has done for us, and he's done a multitude of things for us, but I narrow it down. Any of those other things would make no sense if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you have not received him as Lord and Savior of your life. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Praise God. Isn't it a wonderful thing that he took our place on Calvary's cross? And I'm not talking about some wooden beam there. I'm speaking in terms of what he did there. A lot of times people said, well, when you're talking about the cross of Jesus, you're talking about a defeated person. No, 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 no. He was not defeated. My God, I thank him for dying there on Calvary's cross. But what I'm speaking of is the benefits that derived from what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us all that will believe and trust in him. If you put your heart in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, you can walk in the benefits and have eternal life. Glory to God. Now, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, the Word of God tells us,
who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Praise God. Now, if you were healed, then you are healed. Praise God. And all of this took place 2,000 years ago, or a little better. Praise God. But we just thank God for what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross. And many times folks say, he's not on the cross anymore. And that is true. You're absolutely and positively correct. He is not on the cross, and I'm not putting him on the cross. What I am simply saying is that the benefits that derived from what he did there on the cross. There were others that were on the cross. That was the two malefactors there. But see, I'm talking about the one that shed his precious blood that brought forth redemption for us all. We could never be redeemed, could never be saved, born again. We could never have any of the benefits of God if Jesus Christ did not die on Calvary's cross for all of our sins. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Mr. Glory, you want to read the next verse?
Colossians 1 and 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Amen. The only one that could bring forth redemption for all of humanity, sinners and saints, was the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I thank God that he and he alone came. Because if he did not come here to seek and save that which was lost, and we all were lost, we would not have eternal life. There would be no benefits that we would be able to have, and our portion would be in the lake of fire. But thank God, I said thank God that he came. Praise God. He divested himself of his royal diadem, came into this earth realm. Praise God. The world that he created. Don't you know that the one that created all things was crucified by what he had made? He made wood, trees. There's nothing made that was not made by him that's made. Can you imagine for a moment they crucified him on the very things that he made? Isn't that something? So the Lord Jesus Christ bared our sins, and he can have your sins if you truly believe and trust in him. Now let's look at this thing here. The scripture tells us in Colossians 1 verse 14, amen, that in whom we, now I want to make myself clear today concerning scripture, because first of all, these scriptures were written to folks that are saved. Amen. To the church, should I say. It wasn't written to sinners. But I want to make it known here that, you know, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, change your mind, should I say. Repent. Repent of your sins. Yes, change your mind. The way that you were going before, make a 180-degree turn and start changing your mind and thinking on the things that God has given us all. Now, I know that this is virtually impossible except through the power or the operation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one. He has to convict you of sin. You cannot do it on your own. And I know that through the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the unregenerated and even ones that are saved, praise God, he convicts the sinner and the saint. When a saint does something wrong, he convicts them. That makes them understand that they have to call on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive them. And the sinner, he changes their heart. He convicts them, glory to God, of sin. and they realize that they are a sinner and that they need a Savior. Thank God that the Holy Spirit worked, and He is no respecter of person. Praise God. So in Colossians 1, it says, in whom we have, not that we are trying to get it, not it will be, no, in whom we have redemption through His blood. I said through His blood. Where was the blood shed? It was shed right there on Calvary's cross. Precious blood. The blood that washes and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So Colossians says the Apostle Paul was telling us that in whom we have redemption through His blood. And not only redemption, not only being redeemed, but we have the forgiveness of sin. You see, the blood of Jesus washes and cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that amazing, Minister Glory?
Yes,
you know, what can wash away our sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make us whole again?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. His precious blood. Now, I want to say something here because, like, the Word tells us that the life of the body is in the blood. So, Jesus gave His life on Calvary's cross because the Scripture tells us the life of the body is in the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Under the Old Testament, the life of the body is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, He shed His blood there. In other words, He gave His life for you and for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
He died for us to give His life to us that He might live His life through us. What a wonderful Savior. Praise God. And why so many people are running away from the things of God? Well, I say, and I say it very kindly, that no man or woman can come unto the Father except He that sent them drawn, and He will raise them up in the last day. So those out there in Radio Land, you saved, praise God. Give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the glory. But if you're not, the Lord still loves you, and He still wants you. And don't allow the enemy to try and confuse you, because the Word of God is the only thing that can bring you into the portals of glory. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is very powerful.
Yes.
Now, let's look at another verse of Scripture here. Praise God.
In Hebrews 4:16. Thank God we can come boldly.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hallelujah.
Now, isn't that wonderful? Because He's talking to us as a child of God. Amen. That let us come boldly. And we can come as if we have a right to come because through what the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And the opportunity is open for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Once you come into the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have the same right. You can operate according to the benefits that God has dealt for us all. Let us. Sometimes you say it so quickly, it may sound like lettuce. Let us come boldly. We come into the throne of grace like we have a right to, but we are coming with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We're coming, praise God, as one that's been blood washed and blood bought. Praise God. Children of the redeemed. It is so important, praise God, that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross is that we are able to operate in the benefits and the things of God. This is not time to play church or to just hear a good sermon and hear the choir sing and applaud them and say, wow, what a wonderful group that is singing so many lovely songs. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, this is the time. The Bible tells us this is the time. We have no time to play church. If we wanted to play church, It should have been many, many years ago. And I'm not saying that playing church is right. What I am saying is now, today is very, very, very dangerous. All of the signs of the times and prophecies have been fulfilled. And the only thing that's left now is for the catching away of the saints. Some word tells us in Greek, harpazo, which is to snatch, to seize, or to take the church away very quickly. Don't you want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Don't you want to be with him in the portals of glory? You have the opportunity. Nothing is being hidden from you. Jesus loves you. He loves us all. You're part of his creation. Keep in mind, there is nothing made that was not made by him that's made. He is the creator of all mankind. And I thank God that he's given us the opportunity as believers, every church, telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have a right to the tree of life. But the word tells us, let him that's thirsty come. Are there thirsty people out there in radio land there that are very thirsty? Thirsty for salvation. Thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are thirsty, you can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and drink. His arms are wide open. He's waiting for you to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible is clear concerning all of the openings that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us all. He that is thirsty, let him come. I want to tell you, if you're thirsty, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need peace, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're worrying about things in your life, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And I tell you, he and he alone is able to do those things. Praise God. He said in Matthew 11 and verse 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, and I'll give you rest. My God. He'll give the rest to the sinner, and he'll give rest to the saint. We all need rest, spiritual rest. He said, come to him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn of me. Let's yoke ourselves together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Take up my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Glory to God. Rest for your soul. Rest for your will. Rest for your emotion. Rest for your intellect. Rest for your mind. He will give you this peace. Rest. And he said, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Amen.
Many of us today, that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the whole program is about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about what he has done for us, giving him all of the honor and the glory, not exalting ourselves or making ourselves feel good because we are able to talk about him. It's far greater than that. It's about the one that has done all things for us all. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, which is a verse of scripture here that I want to let you know that he's able. He's the only one that's able. We're not able. Only Jesus. He is able. And the word tells us, now unto him that is able. You see, if he's able to do it all. Praise God. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. No matter what your status is in society. No matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what property and jobs that you have. Everybody needs Jesus. I said everybody. And this is why I am nobody telling somebody, telling everybody about somebody. And his name is Jesus. Glory to God. Mr. Grover, you
want to read? Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Praise the Lord. What about Jesus? Jesus is the answer.
Praise the Lord. And what it is that we're on our two-minute warning here, and we just want to extend an invitation to all that's out there in Radio Land. Now, the broadcast was made, praise the Lord, and was dedicated or directed to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, because Apostle Paul never wrote to the unbeliever. It's only with writing to the church. But since this two-minute warning, we just want to extend an invitation and not close this broadcast out without telling you that you alone also have an opportunity to come to Jesus. Now, Minister Glory, would you just for a brief...
Yes, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So whoever it is, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved by faith.
Praise the Lord. We just want to tell you out there in Radio Land that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He came for you, died for you, and he wants to take you home with him when the time comes for you to exit this natural world. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land, and I thank God for your tuning in to the broadcast. Well, we'll talk to you next time on the same station, giving the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.